Welcome to the podcast for the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing, CSTW, at The Ohio State University. Today, we'll be featuring excerpts from a workshop on Beyondthepedia, Wikis as Collaborative Writing Tools. This episode, number 2 in the series, features Ben McCorkle, an assistant professor of English at Ohio State Marion, and me, Doug Dangler, the digital media specialist and coordinator of the CSTW Writing Center, discussing how we used Google Docs to collaborate on an academic article with our colleague, Tim Barrow, who lives in Arizona. Other podcasts in this workshop series, as well as interviews with Tim and Ben, are available on our site at www.cstw.osu.edu, as well as being available on iTunes.
Ben McCorkle, assistant professor of English up at OSU Marion, and Dr. Doug Dangler, who is my colleague over at CSTW and coordinator of the Writing Center. And so they came to, I discovered that they had used the new Google Docs function to collaboratively compose an article.
Right. And I think, and Doug will probably mention something about this in a little bit, but I think obviously Google's in this new phase of growth now and is trying to grow by acquisition. So Google Docs is actually a purchase they made a couple of months ago called Writely, and they rebranded it as Google Docs. And more recently, they actually bought a wiki product called Jot. And I think that kind of points to some sort of knowledge on their part that online collaborative writing environments are going to become more and more popular. Because if anyone has their finger on the pulse of things to come, I think it's Google. But anyway, Doug and I were collaborating along with this fellow named Tim Barrow, who's at UT Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We were working on a web text for Kairos, a conventional website, and we found that trying to establish some sort of chain of command in terms of editing or trying to share web pages up on the server, none of that really worked right, especially for us, especially when it came to doing things like a simultaneous collaboration of the file, things of that nature. So we decided that one way we would try to work on editing and revising this thing was to dump the text into Google Docs and kind of work on it from there. And I think for the most part we found that it was a fairly workable solution. But anyway, I'll turn it over to Doug and let him talk about it in more detail.
Okay, so this is about using Google Docs collaboratively. Ben's already told you about the ways that we did it. I'll talk about some of the stuff ahead of that. First off, of course, you're going to start out with a comic about collaboration, which is what all of this is about. I don't know if you could read it. I think it's a little girl saying, Norman won't collaborate because he's not playing with her. Anyway.
Yeah. Wonderful.
We'll collaborate. Are these on? There are just some comments about the differences between wikis and Google Docs, which is something that Chris and I were talking about this morning. He says that Google Docs is a wiki, and I think that it's something a bit different, and we almost got into a fist fight. So I thought we would go to the internet to solve it, which is always the best refuge if you don't know something. And these are just some comments on the differences between wikis and Google Docs. This guy says you can use it as a wiki by always inviting the same people in, collaborating on all the documents that you work together, which is the way that we used it, and adding links between documents, and thus creating, you know, a gestalt for your audience. But he says that Google Docs, people tend to, or at least in his experience, and this is my experience, use it in a slightly different way. They create one document, they create another document, they may come back to the first document, they may leave it alone. It seems to have kind of a short lifespan, and people just stop looking at the original document and move on to something else. Are any of you in mathematics? Are you familiar with mathematics symbols? Excellent. So then I can tell you that three-line symbol up there is what we believe to be the symbol for analogy. It's analogous. So wikis are kind of like books. They're formed as a whole. When the new edition comes out, new pages are added. Some old pages may be removed, but overall, all of them are updated the same way. That's consistent. The look is, the feel is supposed to be about the same throughout the wiki. That's the theory. It's not always. But Google postulates maybe a bit of an evolution. The workflow that happens around them is different than it happens on a wiki, but they're different branches on the same collaborative tools tree. Right? So they're
quite similar. We would also argue, I think, well, Ben and I would
sort of look at these as Google Docs as it exists now seems to be aimed more at kind of a print endpoint than wikis, which are aimed more at a World Wide Web endpoint. The Google Docs, you can edit HTML, you can export it that way. I haven't done a whole lot with it. It seemed okay from what we saw. It wasn't a particularly powerful editor in that fashion. So this another person, Rafe Needleman, who works at news.com.com, argues that you would be surprised if they didn't merge the word processor and wiki tools, making Docs a subset of its own wiki. And as Ben gave it away, or somebody, yesterday Google announced that they had bought JotSpot. So that may be precisely where this is headed, that Google Docs will have more interaction with JotSpot, with in the same way that Google Docs is a result of Google buying Writely a little while back. So, you know, they share visions, and they're a strong fit and everything. You know, you've seen this before. So this argues that that may be where we're headed. If you go with this, the next several slides are just going to show you what some of these look like. Do all of you have a Gmail account? If you don't have one and you'd like one, email Ben, email me. I don't think you have to be invited anymore, actually. You can just go and join up, can't you? It used to be closed, but it's been quite a while. But if you want an account, just let us know. They're certainly easy to get. Once you get in, it used to be you got, I think, 20 to pass out to people when it was in beta. Now I think you can probably join without having to be invited in.
Exactly.
You know, there goes the neighborhood. But anyway, you go in to your Google account, your Gmail account, and now you see all the stuff that they're adding on to the side here. And one of the things that Ben was talking about is the way that Google seems to be pretty forward-thinking. I read yesterday an interesting part about their forward-thinking is that they're not making money on any of this stuff yet. They're losing money on everything except search. But they're making such a phenomenal amount of money on search that, of course, they've had a huge net gain. The argument, of course, being that as Google gets people in and gets them accustomed to the, you know, the Google experience and everything, that it'll be a great area for them to continue to market and things like this. So, just the depressing downside, which is what I like to give out too. When you walk in, you get to see all of the docs that you're working on. You get to see when it was last edited, who you're working on it with, all these kinds of things. You can see the owner, the collaborators, the viewers. We'll talk about that in a minute. And there's also spreadsheets, which I haven't done anything with, and really hope that I make it to the end of my days without having to do anything with. So this is what a doc looks like from when you get into the inside of it. It shows you, it gives you different options, different things you could do. This was the text that we were working with on our Kairos article. And I'll just go from left to right really quickly talking about just some of the features of it. You can save as HTML, they'll send it to you in a zipped file, which I presume they would want you, would expect you to then just unroll out and onto your website if you're using it that way. You've got RDF, Word, OpenOffice, PDF, all kinds of things like that. You've got a lot of the standard editing tools, not quite as many as what you'll see in Word, but here's their toolbar. You've got do, redo, undo, redo, cut, paste, you know, everything that you've come to know and love. File and other word processors. You can also insert pictures, hot links, comments, tables, bookmarks, all kinds of other things, special characters. This is one of the cool parts of it that talks about that in terms of collaboration, because this is the revision history. And you can actually, we started this, I guess, a month and a half ago,
sure.
And we've got our revisions all the way back to there. So we can go back to the first version of it. And look at that and look at how it's changed. You'll notice off here on the right, and I wish I could have made this a little bit bigger, but it has authors. Now, Ben has a background in green. Me, I have a background in light blue, and Time has sort of a brown-red. And those, when things get changed online, you'll see that behind it. You start off with everything, you know, your traditional black text on a white background, and it'll start showing you who's done which edits as you go along. And that's really pretty useful, so that we know who's done what.
And just to interject something, that feature seems very wiki-like, the ability to kind of cycle back to earlier changes and earlier edits. So like in a wiki context, if you had a site vandal come up and kind of corrupt the text, it's relatively easy to go back to an earlier form of that particular page. Likewise, I guess if we wrote ourselves into some sort of horrible mess, we could back up to a place where we were more or less comfortable with it.
Right, and one of the things that I wanted to get a screenshot to show you but wasn't able to, is we had a couple of times when somebody was working on it and there was some sort of odd glitch in the program and we weren't, it would pop up on the screen reminiscent of the blue screen of death that said something along the lines of, someone else is editing this, Pucko, your edits will not be kept. Didn't actually use Pucko. But it was sort of this moment because whatever you had been working on was gone. And a couple of times I got on the phone or I Skyped Time and said, are you working on the same section? And sometimes it was and sometimes it wasn't. So that was an odd moment of why the collaboration didn't work the way it was supposed to. There's just something else was going on that we couldn't.
Well, it does auto saves, and I suspect it has something to do with the auto saves were working in sync, and if they kind of saved at the same time, then there was a conflict. And,
right.
So I don't know.
Can I ask a couple questions? Are the auto saves timed to the time that you log in, so that it ends up being like every 5 minutes according to when you started editing? Is that what could have caused like the sync, like the 1 in a million chance?
Sure.
It seems a lot more regular than every 5 minutes, and I wonder if it's not time to autosave depending on whether or not you've made edits. So if you've made like a few key strokes, then it kicks in and says, oh, better go ahead and save it. So it seemed pretty frequent that it was autosaving.
But I don't know really anything about when it did it or how it decided to do it or anything. It was part of that great mystery called the internet that I just seemed to.
Okay, but theoretically, it's supposed to allow simultaneous editing, right?
I think so.
So
yeah.
That error was just this anomaly you're hoping.
Right. No,
right. Right.
Time, but I think it did work.
But it doesn't allow synchronous editing of the same, text.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So you can't both be editing the same sentence.
Right. Which makes sense. But several times that we were doing it, I knew that we weren't working anywhere close to the same section.
Right.
So that's why it didn't make sense.
How many times did that happen?
Probably half a dozen. It was frequent enough that we took note of it, but not so frequent that it became an impediment. And to speak to that point, that the autosave feature seems to be so rapid, the kinds of dialogues, for instance, that I would get would be like, this document is being edited by another user, and this save is going to override your text. And in the dialogue, it would specify what kind of text would be missing, and it would typically like a half a sentence, maybe like six words that you had just typed. Yeah, exactly. You do a quick copy paste and.
All right, and I have one other question. If it's okay.
Sure.
The auditing tool that you have in Word, where you have someone who's kind of the lead editor, and so if anybody else makes changes, you can set an auditing tool, and then that person can accept or reject those changes. Is there something like this here, or is that accounted for in the multiple documents saved 2 hours ago, saved 18 minutes ago?
I think it's probably wrapped up in how the other documents saved at other times. There doesn't seem to me to be a lead editor on it, somebody who accepts and rejects changes. It's much more wiki-like in that anybody can do it at any time, and it's more like time-based than it is hierarchical. Is that your...
Sure.
Sure. This is a really easy interface for adding collaborators. And one thing that I thought was particularly interesting was you could add collaborators or people who just view. And I passed it along to one other person to just view it and say, let me know what you think. And that keeps that person from inadvertently editing. So that's a nice feature. This is what it looks like when somebody else has edited. These actually are some of my own edits. You'll see that we were looking for different titles here. And actually, I pulled this up today and looked back 2 weeks ago for some editing that we had done at that particular time. And you can see where, you know, you can see pretty easily the changes that I had made on the document at that time. I think I got rid of this first paragraph or something like that. You can also, it has a publication feature, that's a web publication feature. We didn't use it, but it would outport to, you know, either your website or a blog. You can send it to Blogger, but we didn't use that. In retrospect, given the fact that we were exporting it to HTML, we might have been better off doing that, but we were doing it sort of piecemeal.
Right. And we had a template we were working in for the website, so anyway.
Yeah. So it was, in most ways, really a rewarding experience. It was, I think it helped us be really collaborative. I also think that we probably wouldn't have gotten it done in the amount of time that we did if we hadn't used it, because it's a lot, it feels a lot faster than doing various versions of Word docs or something like that, because you can see everything and, you know, work through it. In our particular case, for whatever reason, we didn't have really any difficulty with people feeling like they weren't being heard, or that anybody thought, hey, you edited my other text, how dare you, or something like that. We didn't, but I think that's something you can easily run into, because there is no, to me, sense of hierarchy with it. It is what it is. You can go back and look at it and then make your complaints to the group. But the document itself just keeps rolling along, and it doesn't care who's making the edits. And for the most part, I think that worked really well for our group. I don't know what it would be for others who were maybe more attached to or had less caffeine than we were doing this at 11:30 at night on a Sunday night, trying to get done by midnight.
Yeah.
So after having said all this stuff about the cool properties of it, you'll also run into this every now and then, a very brightly colored Google server error that I ran into a couple times today working on it, and that was just my last screenshot that was going to be more amusing than it ended up being, much like a cartoon.
Your party shot.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know, I recommend it, and the next time I teach a class in the winter, I'm probably going to get people to use it just to see how they work through it. Now, I've read a couple things on, was it TechRet listserv, where people had some difficulty with it, especially mailing out to like a class of 20, 30 when it used to be in beta form and that's all the invitations you got. But like I said, I think it's open now.
I believe it is. Just to build off of what Doug said, particularly with this idea of collaborative writing, what struck me as an advantage of this kind of space is that simultaneous collaboration, because I've been in collaborative writing projects before, and sometimes it's hard if you're in a kind of sequential mode, like kind of a relay race, like pass the baton. I did a page, now you go. It's hard to sustain momentum in a writing situation like that. It seemed in this case, and maybe, you know, a lot of variables were in play. I haven't worked with this particular group of people before, but
it likely will never
never again.
Really.
The fact that we were able to look over the same document, kind of establish a division of labor in real time, kind of make changes in real time. We were also calling each other and talking through ideas as we were working on them. It seemed to build and sustain a momentum that kind of carried us through a pretty substantial revision on that thing. So
yeah, and it was also nice to use when we were geographically very separate. He was 3 hours behind us, and you know, the simultaneity worked out really well for us. We were able to call and Skype, and everything worked, you know, almost flawlessly. Now, the ideas that we wrote down might not have been any good, but as far as the system worked great.
question about the collaborators. Do they all necessarily have to have a Gmail account, or is it just one person in the group of collaborators who does and then sends out the invitation to the others who will edit or just, you know, provide it?
You can send an invitation to a non-Gmail address, but that invitation requires that they set up an account through a Gmail account in order to
access. Okay, so there's no way around.
As far as I know,
is it a Google account or a Gmail account? Those are actually different.
Well, I think they're less different than they used to be.
They're merging.
Yeah, part of Google's attempt to take over the world, which they're at this point very successful.
Well, you got to have somebody then, you know, to offset Microsoft.
So, have you run into difficulties with? I mean, was this your first collaboration project? And if not, have you run into difficulties where, you know, people have said, look, I've subscribed to all these others. I don't want to subscribe to one more thing. And if so, how did you kind of, you know, troubleshoot that particular problem?
This was, I mean, certainly not my first collaborative writing project. Overall, I've done a lot of others, but it was the first one using this system. So that's sort of, if that answered the first question. The other one of about people not want, we all had Gmail accounts.
Like going into the collaboration.
Right,
okay.
So it wasn't a problem. The only issue that I've noted is I've gotten email from one of my other collaborators to, and I think maybe from you as well, that had been sent to a non-Gmail account. And I had difficulty getting into Gmail from the email that was sent to the non-Gmail account, if that makes sense. It's somehow, I can't explain it, but the link that I got was broken, I guess is the best way, when it came to my other account.
Right.
Which is, because it was sent to an email account that was bounced, and it was very strange, but it's happened 3 times in a row. So I've come to the conclusion that you really do need to send it. It's best to send it to a Gmail account. Or don't send it to an account that's going to get bounced to multiple places before I get it.
One more question about the deletions that you mentioned on one of your screenshots. The deletion was actually in the color of the editor, right? So can the next person come by and undelete it?
Yeah, you can revert to previous versions.
Well, right, but as far as like actually saying, like, what if you liked all the rest of their changes but didn't like their deletion? Restore that or anything?
I think you probably can. I don't know that we ran into that situation.
I don't know, but I suspect if in the display you get to see strike through of text, that you would be able to undelete a portion of it.
Right.
Yeah, change the format.
But I mean, I didn't encounter that myself. But and here's another thing to remember too. When it was rightly and probably still it was technically in beta, and. Actually, they had like a little graph that like said 82% or something, and they actively solicit feedback from users, and were building features in along the way. So if that doesn't exist currently, it seems like a perfectly reasonable feature to build into it.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's the case with a lot of the wikis. That I've seen is that they're constantly getting feedback from users and adding new features and improving on the work that they do, and that's sort of, you know, part of the process.